be famous. Who wants to die for art?
You disgusting hippie pig.
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society. Come join the fun.
Podcasting live from the Loquacious Lounge and the Dogwater Studios at Sparks, Nevada. I'm Reverend Rory. Shut up, Nick. I'm Reverend Rory Dowd. That's Nick Asshole Ramirez across the room from me. In the other room is the fantastically talented Spencer and Rick, and we got Bruce Lindsay in the studio with us.
On the worst good morrow. Podcast, we're talking out
of our ass. Nailed it.
I give myself a dink. No, I'll give myself a fat try again. Can we take that from the top?
We wrote that whole skit out, so you would think that Rory was not going to make it, but he did.
I'm saying you fail.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've had a wonderful week. I think I did, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I remember most of it. Yeah, I had a good week.
You out on a bender? Drinking
a little bit, not too much. I just the week went by in a flash.
Yeah, as you do,
especially this, you know, is that post Thanksgiving and that
during,
now we're
Christmas birthday
gearing up for Merry Anarchy and birthday.
That's right.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the 7th. Well, this
probably
week
tomorrow.
Yeah,
go
yeah,
to Merry
tomorrow.
Anarchy this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Saturday's my birthday. And Nick's birthday is close by, but on the, not till 12th.
12, motherfucker.
We'll have drinks. We'll have drinks for all of us December people.
Again, for a long time. But I did see a thread where it's 2-2-22 will be happening again. So
right.
We'll be able to
2-22-22 and 2-2-22.
Yeah, well, and 90 years from now, it'll start again.
Right.
Right.
You say, like, your Facebook post that it'll never happen.
Never. Well, for all of us.
Well, and assuming the world ends.
Yeah, and there's that too. So I'm saying I'm going to have a killer birthday party midweek on the 12th, dude. I'm going to drink 12 shots.
Although, won't you look silly on
Facebook?
Won't you look silly on Facebook when you live to be 140 and you do see it again?
I'm going to hit. Yeah, that will look. My face will be red.
Would remember.
I will be embarrassed.
More than that will be red, Nick. You'll be covered in rashes, I bet.
I'll have fucking. Plaster skin. I wouldn't really give a fuck about much, I'd imagine, if I was that old.
Hey, like, medical science
today,
is leaps and bounds.
Today, please?
Excuse me, is it my turn?
Shit.
Yeah. Let's see. Where were we? Hey, the early uncomfortable silence brought to you by an early Pinky Polansky. Mm. Don't forget to check the Pinky link for all your premature ejaculations.
Felix likes to drink.
Thank you, Rick.
Yes. That's more kind of a delayed reaction. Sexually.
Sexually. And sexually. Yes, for season 2013 coming up in January, you guys out there, think about maybe buying a sponsorship. And all year long, we'll promote your shit.
Totally. You know, whether you're a band, really a bar, a local business. Right now,
so. But don't think that if you don't buy a sponsorship that you could ever stop us.
Right. We don't need
you. We're never stopping. We don't care.
We've been doing this for free for so long.
You don't
want to
pay for
this?
Fine.
But wouldn't it be cool if we could do cooler things? Like,
yeah, we need you to grow.
Like, give you my phone number so you could call us.
Yeah, just talk to us on the internet. Yeah. It's super fun. Anyway.
Yeah, interaction, be nice people. It's kind of like I'm just talking to a wall here.
What'd you do last week, Rory?
I don't know. I play guitar a lot and hung out at my house and did stuff.
Did you take out R.A.D.?
Yeah, we did something. Oh, wait. Yeah, thanks, Nick. I took my daughter to the symphony.
Oh, nice.
I took her and a little friend out to Spirit of the Season at the Reno Phil in Pioneer Underground. That was a lot of fun. We got some of the cheapest seats in the house. Right front row. I was Bob Uecker.
Front row.
I got us.
So like Scooby-Doo.
I got front row seats, and the two little girls were kind of too short to really see over the stage.
We're done?
So they had to kind of kneel in their seats and be able to see everything. But they had a blast.
What did he say?
What I always like about Symphony is that there's no plugins. They're not amplified. Maybe there is a room mic. I don't know. But it's like one fucking room mic. All those instruments doing that, you know?
I think they're all wireless these days,
so
Nick.
So amazing.
I think they're all wireless.
Oh. Shut me down then. I guess the sound
I know, Rick, they've always been
instruments.
Wireless. Shut up.
Okay, I'm a little bit high and to the left.
Right. No, the little girls, their eyes were wide with the magic of the theater and live symphonic orchestral arrangements.
Who's Nutcracker?
No, it's called Spirit of the Season. It's
right,
a medley of Christmas carols, and Santa comes around, and other little children pelt
SOS,
them all with candy canes, and there's dancing, and a guy, these two guys who had these dogs that did tricks, like they'd somersault one way, and the dogs would walk over their backs as the other way.
No way!
They were dogs, rad.
Yeah, like six dogs and a bunch of tricks.
I
want
to get a
really
dog
cool.
and train it to
you
do that.
You didn't say yeah, no, you said no, yeah.
That counts, drink.
Okay, everybody drink.
Yeah. No,
Bruce.
No, it doesn't count when you do that.
No, you need a beer.
Need the beer, Spencer.
Just throw it.
Just one.
Throw it. I can get. No, you can't throw it.
At least one.
At least one, possibly two.
Possibly two.
So we went and did that, and that was a enormous and giant blast. It was huge fun. Really good time. It was fun taking two little girls out to the theater for their first time.
Big Daddy.
You know? Yeah,
that's super cool. I bet you wore a bow tie too, right?
I did not actually. We were running a little late, and so I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
I imagined you with the bow tie the whole time you were telling
the
story.
Are all your bow ties clip on?
No.
You like tie them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They're all real bow ties.
Wow.
Earl,
you didn't think I was that coordinated,
you know Earl?
Huh?
Yeah.
Earl's like.
Earl wears clip-ons.
No. He wears clip-on bow ties?
No, he doesn't.
No. Don't say that about Earl.
How dare you?
I know, really.
Don't get offended at his honor.
Yeah. Right. Only like a handful of people are all, what Earl are you talking about? But the ones who are laughing right now, they definitely know.
Earl would never do that.
No.
Earl is a man out of time.
Yeah, he kind of dresses like you dress. That's why. Yeah.
Except his is all authentic, buttony, like 20s clothes.
Yeah. And he did it first.
Oh.
I love you.
Oh, you turned down his buzzer?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. That was totally Rick.
With his mind. He did it with mind bullets.
I also, the previous evening on Friday, I did get to host the show over at Lincoln Lounge with the Big Bad and Knowledge Lives Forever and Drinking with Clowns. It was Kim's going away show from Knowledge Lives Forever. So we're not going to get them on the show until they get a new guitar player. But it was a great show. It was off the hook. The place was packed for them. Super good time. I know, Spencer, did you have fun?
Shot play with
you can talk more than one word.
I had an awesome time. That was, Knowledge Lives Forever set was probably the best show I've seen in Reno.
Yeah, really? They really did kill it. They put on a good show that night.
Yeah, and, their new guitar player is me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Oh, so you gotta, so we gotta break you in and then, like they got to break you in, and then we'll have you back on the show.
Okay, while we have him on the mic, because we're not going to talk to him later. We're going to do it now.
All right.
What's up with... Okay, so next show...
You did the sound check today.
This is your graduation, right? You're almost done interning for us, right?
Yep, almost done.
So the crowning achievement is going to be next week, where Spencer's going to be running the show.
He's running the ship. He's going to be our dog water...
He's going to be wearing my pants.
Is he literally going to?
He's going to be filling my shoes.
I demand that now happens. That he literally wears your pants. It can be over your own. You don't have to get his jeans up against your skin.
You have to
put
your boys where his boys were. But
oh, I disagree.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be fun.
And then what? Your teacher gives you a grade about what you did here.
Well, I just get credit. I don't think there's any grading.
Oh, it's just credit. Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
No, Rick's been taking detailed documentation of all of his work habits, and he's going to send it back to his teacher in triplicate.
Don't fuck up next show, dude.
Yeah, anything that goes wrong next week is Spencer's fault.
Yeah.
Just so you know, son.
Yeah, you're going to be really...
We will have to get our own shit, I guess.
No,
he does both, yeah.
Well, he has to fulfill two positions, but he needs to be a better engineer than intern.
And you know he's gonna. There's gonna be all the samples and stuff. So like, right. You guys have to do a lot of like, what would Riku say about that, Spencer?
Right.
And see, and exactly. Like, see if he's any faster than I am.
Or if he
I'm
even
also.
Knows the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
because you know what I'm thinking. You and I share part of a brain.
You know, that's what's really important about the show is just fucking.
Hey, speaking of which. Welcome back.
We have sounds again.
I love the ding.
I miss the ding. It's an old friend.
Oh, man. I sure love this silly town. You know
what about you, Nick? What did you do?
I'm
going to
skip my weekend and just get straight to my fucking friend, Bruce Lindsay. What do you think about that, Rick?
What did you do last weekend, Bruce?
Yeah, that would be more interesting.
It really wasn't all that interesting.
Did it involve sweatpants and chicken wings?
I don't know about the chicken wings. A little bit of movement. A little bit of movement.
Some kind
very
of
very little.
Yeah, yeah. Ex-wives, all of the good things.
Oh, fun.
Oh, sweet. All it's hanging out in the room.
So, Bruce, for anybody that doesn't know Bruce... Bruce is a longtime poet, musician.
RBL.
Filmmaker.
Robert Bruce Lindsay.
Man of law.
Yep. He paints. He sings. He does poetry.
He sues.
Reno troubadour. He defends.
He defends. He
makes movies.
Filmmakes.
Bruce does a lot of stuff around this town and has for quite some time.
Yeah. He does plays. I just saw his last play. What was that called, Bruce?
Please.
Please, yes. Yeah, please was good please. At the Underground before they closed up.
Oh, right,
that was
right.
Awesome. Very, very funny. I really enjoyed the mom in bed who was dying. She was fucking hilarious. Dude.
Right.
She
yes. Nothing funny. Like coming off of chemo on your last day on Earth and turning it into a comedy.
Yeah, all the characters in it were very funny.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
good choices on that.
Death
too.
Is funny. People just don't get it.
There's definitely a funny story in there, for sure.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's, well, you know, beautiful and sad and funny and all of it.
So it's about death?
A lady comes off her chemo. It's her last day on Earth. And her husband comes to see her, and her daughter comes to see her, and then her ex-husband shows up.
Right.
And therein lay the folly. You know, would you eat me after three sets of tennis? How can you ask? Of course I would. But the three sets of tennis, the thought wears me out.
So how long have you been in Reno? Are you born and bred here? Are you native, or did you emigrate?
I was born in Reno.
Ah, a lifer.
Back in the 40s.
Oh.
1949.
Mm. Yeah, we were talking earlier before the show. You remember when radio was king?
Yeah, when it was...
Radio was furniture in your house.
It was a great, we had a great big radio and a great big cabinet and the great big dial on it. Everybody listened to radio. It was a big deal.
And did you have one of the console record players as well?
Oh, gosh, yeah. We had the 40. Yeah. My big sister had the little 45s.
Yeah, yeah.
And she had Nat King Cole and all that kind of stuff. It was just crazy.
And now here we are on the interwebs with all digital sound.
We've jumped through television.
Skipped it. We don't need
That's yesterday's newspaper. And now we're on the internet where everybody's connected. It's pretty trippy. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can.
When I was a kid, we.
With each other all over the world.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We didn't have television when I was a kid. I mean, literally. When I was 5, 6, 7, you know, old enough to remember. And then television came on and there was one channel in Reno, Channel 8.
What did you watch on it, on Channel 8 in Reno?
Oh, it was whatever
the
they showed.
It was the silliest stuff. I mean, it was just very hokey.
If you were a kid, what was one of your favorite shows that you watched?
Well, in the 60s, when there were like three stations, and then you had programming and all that shit happen.
Right.
We had Bonanza.
Yeah, let's well, wagon train
with Rory Yates, a.k.a. Jeez, what's his
Rowdy Yates. That was a ride, man.
Ride. Yeah. Great stuff.
Wow. Fucking.
So what? Cool, what got you in? How long you've been doing art and music and experimentation with the mind?
Well, my mom was a painter.
Okay.
And so art was like just a part of our house. She made things. She would go out and just take anything. She once took a thing of kind of like that wool that is made out of metal.
Steel wool.
Steel wool.
Yeah.
But a great big piece of it, like half a wall full. And she turned it into a Western town.
Wow.
Is that a trip with the lights and people walking?
Do you have a crazy picture of that?
I could do that with one tab of LSD.
Yeah.
Two. You do that every time you go up to Tahoe with pieces of trash and wood.
Crystal meth.
How, like cut it out into little cutout things?
She turned it into figures and train station and a grocery store and all that shit. You know, but that's just how she was. Her mind was, everything was art. You just hadn't looked at it right.
Rad.
Nice.
So you got that going, coursing through your veins, because you've been since I met you.
It gives you the permission to be an artist. Now, you know, if you're raised in a home in which everybody paints, everybody writes, everybody, well, then it just seems normal.
Right. No barriers to try something new, because it's always been around.
Right. Doing a painting, why wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, what do you got canvas for?
Why are those drums sitting there?
Right.
Sit down and play them. Sit down and play them.
We always had a piano in the house.
Yeah.
Back when everybody had a piano
too.
In their house.
My family too. I still have that piano today.
I think I've touched that a couple times.
Yeah. Very cool. Featured in your movie, what's your movie called?
Under the Radar.
Which
one? Under the radar.
Yeah. Oh, you have more than one movie. I did not know this. I didn't ever got the second movie. What movie is this?
Didn't you have a second movie?
Well, yeah, the second movie was a short, but then we've got two in the can. We're just getting the editing done. It'll be done.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the last two plays. Movie. I think you saw the last two plays. We filmed them.
Oh, okay, cool.
So the Ninth Circuit and then Please.
Excellent.
And the Ninth Circuit, was that the one, I want to say at one point in time, it was a dancing mime scene. And
yeah, oh yeah.
You had talked to me about doing that, and then I moved to Louisiana abruptly.
I think Nick saw it.
I got to see it.
Yeah.
It
was a trip. Awesome. Did a great job of taking the page and turning it into kind of a...
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful theater up above Bruca
the
now?
The Masonic.
Masonic Theater.
Okay.
Bruca used to do plays up there. They did The Wizard of Oz up there, but Bruce's play up there with your backdrop stuff. Your backdrop stuff looked like your paintings.
Yeah.
So really, your worlds were really bleeding together, and you were filming that too. It's fucking genius, man. Yeah. Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you put all that energy into doing a play, you should make it into a film. I mean, you can add gingerbread. It's a lot of work. Uh-huh. You know, plays are a ton of work.
But you did your movie, so you knew how to make a movie.
Right.
So when you're doing your play, you're like, okay, well, then we have to film this many nights. And then on this night you do these scenes, and on this night you do those scenes so that we can see them together.
Yeah.
Or you just do the whole entire thing and have two cameras running around like crazy and shit.
No, you have a couple cover cameras, but then... You add the intricacy of the movie with taking another camera and going back and doing other things so that you get a depth to what's happening there.
It's not just the junior high, here's my video camera on the proscenium.
Right. You have a couple of those shooting the actual play,
but
then you still need the close-ups. And so, you know, like I have a close-up of everybody delivering their line with a black, you know, backdrop. And
do you film those at practice? Or
I filmed about 3 days before the play.
That's
and everybody,
super smart.
Yeah, so I've got a shot of everybody doing their lines perfectly. So you have the perfect vocal,
nice.
No matter what happened on the stage.
Right.
And you have the lines delivered correctly, no matter what happens on the stage.
Cool.
A way of doing it, you know.
Yeah. You just bust out all three during... One 3 day show, or you do you do two weekends on that one?
The last one, Please.
Yeah. So Please was a 2 week run on the weekends.
Right, we might do it again sometime. People liked it. It was funny.
You ever think about taking your place out, like, to Burning Man or something?
I might. But, yeah, no.
I think that
would
be cool.
I'd
work with you on that project.
Yeah.
I'd be into that.
Well, you only need four actors, which would make it a nice thing. And then you could add the burn.
And we could show your movie on the playa while we're driving around in the damn track. Yeah. It would be right in front of us while we roam the whole desert.
Well, they have movie theaters out there. I had to bring the movie.
I saw the Rocky Horror out there. It was fucking awesome.
No shit. Rad. Yeah, really?
It was great.
Oh, that's fun.
And they had like mobile stadium seating, kind of weird. They built a big like thing with lots of benches and shit, and you could sit up there. Are they actually movie theater seats? And it was awesome. And they had like the girl would come around with the candy and cigars and all that.
I think it's just beautiful. Cool. Yeah. And I love the movie theaters they put together out there. It's just killer.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your movie would be
great.
Get
your
2 o'clock
movie, 4 o'clock movie.
Be fun. So, well, but you also got awards for that, right? For Under the Radar?
Yeah. We got Best Dark Comedy out of L.A. and Best Screenplay out of New York, which was a real nice feeling.
What was the festival called? Film Fest?
Yes, the L.A. International Film Festival.
Nice.
And New that York was in 06, and in New York, yeah.
Nice.
So it's kind of crazy.
Wow.
Couple of dings, dude. Come on.
That got loud.
No, it's the same volume, but Bruce has that like low kind of.
Oh,
grizzly.
I'm sorry. Should I be speaking?
No. I think it's awesome, but it's that low kind of grizzly jazz guy voice that, you know. And then when your ding comes in, it just seems like it's shocking.
Speaking of jazz guy voice, do we have any of that queued up right now?
Hell yeah.
Should we hear? What are we going to be hearing?
I don't know. You put the ode on first.
Okay.
Ode to the ex-wife.
You want to say anything about it?
Oh, Eric Stanglin and I did this. It's only been done once. And he said, hey, I'm going to give you my most.
Eric Stanglin. Sorry. friend of the show.
No, Eric's great. Anyway, and he just said, hey, I got a really beautiful piece of music I've been working on. And I showed him the lyrics so that we have some sort of timing. You know, he knows their quatrains or their, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, because you listen to each other. We played it once and it came out beautifully.
Let's check it out.
Come on in. Started World War III. I just don't know how that can be. You can blame it on me. 25 years and I'm finally free. For decades I listened to your complaints. Because of the children I've showed some restraint. Still I wonder at the picture you paint. The helpless victim, the martyr, the saint. For all the anger, the words, the cuts. The endless fighting is just too much. To be that unhappy with all you touch. Quote Wild Bill, you protest too much now. We won't share our childhood plans. Perhaps together we can
too much fun. I know I started World War II, but living with you, huh, what else could I do? But when you tell me I started World War III, I just don't know how that can be. Oh, you can blame it, you can blame it on me. Been 25 years and I'm finally free. No, you can blame it, blame it on me. Been 25 years and I'm finally free now.
Very cool.
Man, near the end of that, some of the vocalizations you were doing totally reminded me of the way Spencer sings. Isn't that funny?
I'm sorry for you, Spencer.
Oh. That's cool, man. It's like sharing your life in your song there.
Yeah, the ex-wife.
Yeah.
No, that was some really nice guitar work on Eric's part.
Isn't that beautiful? That
really and just straight up live recording, eh?
That is. He did the he did the rhythm down straight through and we sang it, and then he went back and added the
soloing.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, so very it just cool. You know, it took us maybe an hour to finish it. Not it's very long sweet. At all. That's really one of those things when it works, you just, man, it works.
Cut, break, go.
When you hit it, you hit it.
Well, and that's what recording used to be. You know, you were recording an event.
Right.
Not a series of events that would be played back in such a way that it would sound amazing.
That it could be pieced together like a quilt.
Yeah, that it would become something that never really happened.
Right. Right. So Sergeant Pepper's is
somehow
awesome.
Somehow reminds us of the world.
Somehow.
Somehow getting really close to what never happened.
It's beautiful. In a weird way.
In a weird way.
So... what else is going on, man? So
what's happening in the world of Bruce Lindsay? What do you do? What are you doing these days? What's your current project?
Yeah, what have you done lately, Bruce?
Yeah, what are you? You hit 403. What have you done lately? Well, let's see. I'm working on a new play, which I think is going to be a little darker than you know the frivolity of The Last Day of Dying and Please.
A little darker than that,
a little
eh?
Darker. I'm going darker.
You go more dramatic, more dramatic and less comedy.
You know, it's. I'm going to try and lighten it up at the end, but it's definitely a fairly, it's a, the dissembling of a human being. Mm. And he's, you know, like the Chief Justice of the Nevada Supreme Court. And everything in his life melts.
Just unravels.
It just melts. And so it's kind of funny. You see what I'm saying? Dark is good. I mean, yeah.
Pull the dark around you like a shawl and keep
well,
you warm.
You know, it's all. Everybody's got a dark side in the sense of just, you know, the individuality of the human being is going to always have some. And so I like doing plays where I try to make the audience feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and the last one, it was great. The yeah, actors all turned well. Around and began to assault the audience. And
oh, yeah?
In the play, yeah.
Oh, cheers. Yeah, I love that kind
I
of thing.
I believe in the first one, it was like that too, but more subtle than the second one.
Much more subtle, although some of the pieces where the guy's head is reeling.
Mm-hmm. When he's up in the tree and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, well, but way even before that, where he's in there and he's imagining he's in a court and all that shit's happening and... everything, and all of a sudden he's looking at his old lady, and you know, all he can do is think about, you know, she doesn't really, you know, et cetera.
Okay, so, like, in a nutshell, what was the first one about?
It was about a serial killer.
So this one's the third one's darker,
much darker, much darker. I'm going. I'm not going to just no more of these shallow pools. We're gonna hit the big ones. We're gonna hit the long ball.
So
I'm swinging away. No more bunting. I got the serial killer who
cancer.
Kind of funny because the serial killer is killing all these women, which is kind of I guess you know I mean it's got a negative side. But but his lawyer is being blamed. His lawyer is being blamed for his murders. So he's just fucking thrilled to death that his lawyer is being blamed for the murders. And so it's about nobody will even talk to the lawyer anymore. He loses his clients immediately. The judges avoid him. Everybody thinks he's a pariah because, you know, I mean, he's being charged with, he's like, they're saying he's the chief suspect, you know, in a serial killer, you know, and the place is all crazy anyway. So I think it's funny. It's a comedy, you know, and like you say, he ends up in a tree. When everything comes down, he gets naked and climbs up in a tree and just sits there.
Yeah.
And everybody's begging him to get down and, fuck you, you know.
Wow.
So it's a dark movie that ends with Naked Lawyer.
Some of that, because when I watched the play, too, I was like, this is weird, man. I'm not sure if this is in his mind or if it's really happening.
Like the end of, Brazil there.
What's going on? But it was fucking awesome. And then the second one, the lady.
Oh, please, yeah.
Is on her deathbed.
Deb did a great job. She's just been taken off chemo, and so that's kind of the death sentence. And they're waiting for her to die. But it goes from a hospital in the first act to an insane asylum in the second act to the fact that they come out and say, oh, no, and they're looking at the audience. I get it. You can't see the bars. You don't think you're living in an insane asylum. I get it.
You don't read
the fucking front page, do you? I mean,
I'm not the one who's crazy. You are.
Yeah. So that kind of drew the audience in. And you could watch the audience would go from laughing in the earlier part to when they get attacked, everybody gets really quiet. and then at the very end, you know, you sort of forgive it all and go forward with it's all an insane asylum. And then you see everybody, they get that nervous, you know, all of a sudden, because you're never sure as a writer. They got to applaud the end of it. Or they're going to get up and leave, demand their money, and you know. it's a little bit
like Marat Sade, a little bit. Like the inmates run the asylum,
right? Well, I mean, yeah, and that's the whole point. The first part is the husband and the ex-husband and the doc, and they become the nurse, the doctor, and the janitor, and then. All of a sudden, you realize they're just in the institution, man. And then they come out and say, "Oh, I get it. You can't see the bars. You don't think you're living in an insane asylum. You didn't put a costume to come here tonight, did you? That looks like a costume."
Roy Dad's with his bow tie, just all.
Yeah, everybody's wearing a costume, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
That would actually relieve a lot of my ill-formed and unspoken stress in life if I knew that. Yeah, I really am just in an institution.
Oh.
I could just relax.
Right, you are. That's the point of please. I mean, you are in an institution, and it takes an enormous amount of insanity to play the game that we all play to get through the day.
Absolutely. We walk on our sidewalks. We follow all the road rules.
You do everything that you're told because you don't want to get snitched on. Right. You don't want to get thumped. And
you best go back to your box.
Don't make eye contact. Pay every time you leave a store. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Do all the things you're told to do.
Don't forget when you're driving, it's just painted lines holding our world together.
Yeah. You could just climb right up on that stage at the Reno Philharmonic right during the middle of a show and get up there and dance.
Did the girls do that?
No, but I thought I could for a second.
Did you do that?
I did contemplate that. Every now and then I just contemplate doing the bizarre, random, and crazy. Yeah, like
soy bomb and shit.
Right, but, you know, I'm there with two little girls, and if I get kicked out, they'd have to get kicked out.
That could be a downer. That could be a real downer.
So I decided against, but hey, you never know. You might be down there sometime and see me just hop up on stage. I like those front row $11 seats.
I've already seen you in your skivvies on stage at Comro to a sold-out audience.
Twice.
Racing around the room.
Well, I only saw you once, but you did it twice, yes. Yeah, and the one time I saw you was enough.
I witnessed that. I almost went straight.
As far as your skivvies go. Actually, no, I can't wait for the next Rocky Horror when you guys do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Springtime. Look for it in
beautiful
spring.
Beautiful thing. Man, so we've all been hanging out with Bruce, well, at least me and Rory, I know, for years. And,
yeah. More than 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I think mine's at that more point, like getting close to 20.
Yeah, kind of stopped counting
since
after
the blue
a while.
Lamp.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
some poetry days back
Bruce
in those days.
Bruce is also in featured in the movie in the in a psychedelic scene.
Yeah,
Nowhere, Nevada. Good friends with the Marianne.
Fun. That was fun.
Marianne Arkey and the whole cause and all
Yeah, I knew you and Marianne way back.
Yeah. Just whipped out his readings from the Blue Lamp book.
Old compendium.
That is a good poetry book. That is a good poetry book. Say, let's do a little round of Poetry Wars, the Reverend Roy Dowd versus Bruce Lindsay.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
All good.
We're going to go.
Okay,
with,
sure.
We're going to I'm going to flip a coin first to see who goes first. Heads or tails, since Bruce is our guest, he gets a call.
Heads or tails.
Okay, which what do you call?
Okay, heads, tails.
Tails. Rory goes. Well, Rory gets to pick. Do you go first or second?
I'll go second since I'm completely unprepared here.
All right, Bruce.
What am I doing?
You got to read us a poem from the Blue Lamp book.
Just, from Blue
Lamp. Share with our audience a little piece from that era, and then we're gonna get a response from Roy Dowd, and I will judge the poetry war. And we have Rick and Spencer, the intern, to weigh in on it. Spencer, well, like Simon.
Spencer only has half a vote. It works in a tiebreaker.
Randall.
should I give it a try?
Yeah, whip it out.
Delicious. Mm. She lies carelessly in my bed, calling me delicious and acting as if we'd been lovers all our lives. Perhaps in other lives I can hear her say, but she says it sadly, as if one life weren't enough. Never enough. She reads to me the dreams of a ridiculous man, notes from underground. She tempts me with a naked leg as if I were a weak man and had no use outside of a bed. I'll show her. I'll withhold myself. I'll take control. From now on, I'll only breathe when I want to. I guess she knows. I've been wondering the thematic origins of scientific thought. She comes at me in barely a T-shirt, but when she comes like that, I know what she is. She's become a book. I know how to deal with books. I know how to turn her pages. There are many books. She fingers the mess at the top of my desk. Are they all worth reading? She's right, of course. Good books are rare, like good people and friendly lovers. Rare, like fine wines, full meals. Saturday in the fog, like all the oceans at midnight under the full moon. Rare. Now I have women in my life. They come like the morning sun. They taste like 20 teas, some honey, some caffeine. And always they unmask me. I'd be no good if it were a game. I'd lose if it were a competition. How easy to be naked with a naked woman. Smells from the kitchen travel up the stairway. They find me at the garret at the back of the house. Peppers and garlic, I'm in love. Peppers and garlic, spinach, tomatoes and avocado. She scrambles eggs and puts it all in a crepe. After tea and a joint, she reads this. And she thinks I'm insane.
Yeah.
Nice.
Badass, dude. I like the part when she scrambled eggs. It made me giggle a little bit. I was like, yeah.
Better stop making those slippery, slimy eggs.
Some peppers.
You're all hopped up on that weed.
All right. I'm going to give that 4 out of 5 snaps.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome, Mike.
Find shit that's that old that I still would even read.
But would you guys agree? What do you guys give Rick and Spencer, the intern?
Hell yeah! But then keep in mind, I spent a lot of time sitting around Jabba Jungle listening to people who suck. So that seemed amazing.
But 4 out of 5?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
See, that's the problem. Everything that I have to say, Rick's heard.
I've heard. Yeah,
times.
I know. So I will be judging you based on this evening's performance.
Ah,
right. But see, but what the game is now is. Your response to what he said, he has to come up with a response to what you said. Then we judge the whole competition. You might even have to give another poem, so it's 2 for 2 on the poems. But okay,
I see.
So that's how it works. We're making this game up as we go.
Me too.
Who's
ready?
On first?
Go.
All right. No one's gonna love you all the time.
They got a life outside that plastic airport gift shop snowball fantasy you both believe in. They got to love themselves first. Get their own shit together. Shoot up with a little homemade meth. Buy another home entertainment center they can't afford. Stuff grade McD, Jack and the Bee, processed plastic low-fat beef down their gullets and ignore the grease that seeps through their mullets. See, no one is going to love you all the time. That's what your family's for. Reunions, Christmas, arguing over who overcooked the spaghetti, and she could have been a prom queen if she hadn't gotten knocked up, and fake smiles with retractable shark teeth ready to bite into your sleeping shoulder the minute you turn around for another slice of grandma's apple cobbler. No one's going to love you all the time. They've got the future to think about, bills to pay, parties to attend if they're ever going to get that promotion, and hey, these last few weeks have been great, but I've got cancer, so I'll see you next month. My little, See, there, I blew it right there. I'm editing. I haven't read this in a long time.
Go!
No one's going to love you all the time, you self-evasive prick, Nick. Not with that un-PC, F the planet attitude and your taste for lewd misanthropy nobody tries to see. Yeah, you're pretty good in bed. You can always make her laugh. But when are you going to get serious about anything? Cut your hair. Fit in the image we've made for you, just like everyone else. Live down to sub-expectations, just like everyone else. And stop ogling those 16-year-old strippers waiting to happen, just like everyone else. It takes one drink too many, one careless remark, one joke about graveyards and golf courses for you to realize that no one is going to love you all the time. They heal and have fond memories. They grow up. They move on to the next boy in man's clothing with a winning smile and a digital answering machine about safe ideas, about how to deal with the grinding weight crushing down on him. While you're stressing about buying cat food, you've resorted to smoking stranger cigarettes, butts out of ashtrays, and drinking half-empty melted ice waters that might taste like Jameson's and lipstick if you're lucky. No one's going to love you while they're still dealing with Uncle Jack's drunken, clumsy, calloused hands, pawing at primary color print sheets that are always tangled and sweaty every time they wake up, bolt upright, wide-eyed, and ready to scream out of some primal gut-hate fear of nothing specific. But the closest image is one of being boxed into an office cubicle by three-foot-tall weasels with straight razors, being leashed to that computer with glowing red eyes on a display empty of anything resembling dreams or a life. So just face it. We're all broken toys inside. No one's going to love you all the time.
Yeah.
That is one of my favorites, Rory.
Yeah. Right. I have to give you 4 out of 5.
A little
have
stumble
to take
there.
Half off for the stumble.
Yeah. Seriously.
But Bruce and I have been having a conversation about content and form just before the show. And so I wanted to bring out something that had a little more content than my average.
This is a great spotlight on the poetry as an art form. We haven't really done this in a while.
And no, we haven't really done that poetry ever on this.
We had big plans for it in the first year, but anyway. Round two.
All right.
Start with Bruce Lindsay.
Oh, wait. I'm totally like 3 out of 5 for that. And exact same reason. It would have been 4 for content, but you weren't as in character as Bruce had been.
Yes.
Ooh. Sorry.
Oh, I completely stepped out of character. But isn't that my character?
That is.
Oh!
That was an intentional error.
That's not only one half.
That was intentional.
Okay, Bruce.
Okay, I'm going to read a little prose here. Sorry.
Everybody just grab a cigarette or whatever you need to do and some coffee.
Oh, this is a good time for me to highlight this.
Later we'll have some fucking pie.
Everybody grab some fucking pie. We're going to have some poetry here in a sec.
I don't want any fucking pie.
Later we'll have some fucking pie.
I hate pie.
So does Brenda Lee.
This is out of the Trial of Diogenes, the first third. It's a trilogy. And I guess it's prose. As I've grown older, I've noticed the change. I've gone soft. You know it's true. I know it's true. I've gone soft. A lot of the blind fire has burned out. I've become sensitive, thoughtful, forgiving. I'm beginning to really care. No, I am. I only paint beautiful, polite pictures, big brown cows with sad round eyes.
and large mountains that lean into the earth as if they really mean it. A green valley sitting patiently for the sun to rise or set. Canvas to brush crimson at dust. What a rush. What a rush. Mostly the mundane and the sane have taken my fancy. All I write are romantic, enlightened, politically correct songs with popular themes. I pen only sweet short stories where the good guy always wins. Novels, predictable poems, and simple-minded aphorisms about the dirty cunt that ruined my life.
Mm. Yeah. Oh.
I'm going to withhold my judgment till after I hear Roy Dowd's.
Ah, changing the rules on us, yes. Are you?
Hey, the rules were never permanent, I don't think.
No.
I'm going to read...
This game is like a snowflake.
I'm going to read one of my favorites that I've ever written, but nobody else likes it. Where did I just put it? All right, here's the... Damn it, I have an edited version in here somewhere.
Hey, can we hear some more of that Brenda Lee?
Unprepared. Surprise this shit on Brenda, me at the last minute.
Brenda, what are we going to do after the podcast?
Later we'll have some fucking pie. Okay. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Okay. Awesome. Miss you, Jess.
Just
spunk. The shit.
Spunk
and the weird
favorite.
One?
Wait, which one is it?
Spunk.
No, that's
no,
not
that's
right.
Just,
okay.
Spunk!
We'll call it the spunk before that last one is stoner spunk.
Stoner spunk.
Spunk.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, Rory. Okay.
This is a story about a pet. The story of Brutus. They were so poor, but they wanted an army of fish. African cichlids, $2.99 each, small, $4.99 medium, $6.99 large. So the sign read, so buy four, get one free. So they got five small ones, put them all into the tank that had already been cleaned and running for a week. Already had a small infestation of small snails thrown in for free by the punk rock girl in a blue smock that planned on just throwing them out. They were all the size of a thumb, but wolves of the tank, cichlids dancing and attacking the bag of brine shrimp until it twitched like Michael J. Fox on a bad day. One day, nobody knows what happens. There was a change in temperature, bacterial decline, imbalanced pH, and a battle, a plague, who knows, but only one survived. And he was hardcore. He grew to be as big as a kindergartner's hand. Brutus attacked anything, killed everything they ever put into that tank, even the new ones, until they started thinking, oh, just die, die, you fish murderer, die. But he didn't. He glared at you, plotted against you, spat mouthfuls of pebbles one at a time against the glass to break the tank, and lived forever. The end.
Yay! Ooh,
that was strong too.
That's
about a fish too. That we used to have here.
Oh my god!
That was Rick's fish.
That was a true story. That was a true story.
True
we really
story.
Did hate that fish.
Yeah, we hated
and he really
it.
Would, he really would pick up mouthfuls of rocks and he just... would look at you. Like, you'd come to the tank and look at him, and he'd pick up mouthfuls of rocks and spit them at the glass like he wanted to break it and break your face, too. He was such a dick. Wow. Hated that fish. And but you did you write that before the end of the story happened?
I did write it before the very end of the story.
The end of the story
he
is.
He got
that
very sick.
We one day, so we. I really.
Now, how
I wanted
old was he? He was like
wanted,
an 18 year old cichlid or something.
No,
I mean, he was
maybe
ancient.
Eight. It was, but that's a eight. It was like 7 or 8 years or something. But dude, that fish, I hated that fish. I hated that fish. I would go by that tank and just think, I hate you. And
you
he
would
hated
not
me too.
Feed it
I hated
on
that
purpose.
Fish. Oh, we'd be, and, but I felt bad you couldn't kill him, you know, because it didn't seem right. And then one day, one glorious day, we were, this was back when I was drunk all the time, we walked by and he was swimming on his side. And enjoy, I turned to Rory and Justin and said, you guys, you know what this means? Killing him is the right thing to do.
You just have to wait.
Yeah, and so we took him in the back, and I think we filmed it while we chopped his head off over the, yeah. the toilet.
Yes, we
oh
did.
My.
Yeah. So there's the end of the story.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. That I really
I cannot
enjoyed that.
Award
Rory.
You bonus points for Rick's
no,
addendum.
No, right.
But
it stands on its own.
It was really close. Bruce Lindsay won the match.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't win.
No, you did. You won the poetry match.
Are we going to the third
Rory
piece?
Rory Stumble was the tiebreaker. Now, if you want to go for three for three, and Rick and Spencer have to be the judges, because I pretty much, I got two out of three right now going to Bruce. So they'll have to be the tiebreakers.
Rory is just joking. He's just joking.
Let's do a round
of equals.
A round. It's the rapid fire round of your shortest poem. Go.
Nick.
No.
That'll be the tiebreaker.
I have a relatively. I'll go first this round. We'll switch it up for the final round.
All right. Yeah, and we'll switch it up because we've had Bruce Rory.
And I write a lot of poems about girls. This is about girls.
All right.
I met a girl a number of haircuts ago. She was the cinnamon sugar to my slice of bread. I was head over heels, buck tooth, Bugs Bunny, stupid for this girl. Her smile, her rack, her mind, my pygmalytic paradigm. I thought I knew what I was getting into, sensitive sex, siren suspicion, a boiling kettle of condescending conflict, riveting rapture that fucked me up so much inside that I forgot the next line. I met somebody else's love a number of hearts ago. She was Mother Nietzsche in combat boots and striped stockings, smiling like the Virgin Kali, water and whips in hand. She fostered in me a need for myself. Growing a grapevine, she held to her dotted line in the middle of the road and was true to a self that should have been died back on the shelf. Standing over a shallow... No, see, that's not it either. I met this one chick a number of hearts ago. She saw bars ago. She saw me, she smiled, she bought me a drink, laughed at all my jokes, finally took me home to a little one bedroom with a kitten tabby that hated everyone but me, and she took me on top of a pile of unmarked 7th grade essay exams. I belted her over multiple choices of lives she wanted to leave with me next month, next year, next Saturday. Hell no, I got to get breakfast. I got to write a real poem. See, I met this woman a number of condoms ago. She had a bump for the hunt, a mouth that knocked me out, a mind like a missile. She had a smile that could sizzle the sidewalk or freeze even the oldest tired old souls. She knew what she wanted and ripped that ear out of my hollow chest to show me what a real person felt, moved, smelled, and struggled like. See, it was a smile, ladies and gentlemen. A smile is how they always worm their way into me.
Yeah.
And Rory, really, for just being having this pulled out of your ass on the spot, not fucking bad.
Not bad at all. I haven't read any of this shit in years. Well, like, Bruce, lamp days.
this will be the last performance in Poetry Challenge Battle 2012, which will never happen again. please, to be giving.
Nude. I'll always remember her as nude should she appear tomorrow fully clothed. Can't you see her lying about the house upon the couch without a robe, without a stitch? Not that she dressed or undressed, though sometimes in shoes, a blouse, earmuffs. She'd lie about the house and the sort of things that fit or didn't fit. Being nude is never an act, I can hear her say, more a state of mind, something simple, something fine. And she made it stick. Yeah, she made it stick, for she's somewhere behind this page, and she's watching me. She's watching me talk with my mouth full of trousers.
Yeah. I think you guys are talking about the same chick.
That's just all of them.
That was hard, man. That's hard. What do you guys say in the back? What do you say?
God damn.
Who won that round?
Go with the talent.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Bruce. Rory still had
said, go with the talent, Rick.
And that's what I did.
Wow. Well, I'll have to give you the title of the worst poet in the world.
Bruce got me at the end with the trousers.
Thank you, Bruce. It's wonderful to compete against you.
Fun stuff.
Poetry's always good.
What do you have lined up for the next song?
I think we're doing The Front Door.
Nice.
Which is an album from about 5-6 years ago with Kevin Stewart, Larry Waller. You guys are going to love the sax and the piano. Kevin Stewart writes the music. I just kind of pull out a book of poems.
Nice.
And do exactly what you think we'd do.
Right.
Front Door.
when she lies to me. I feel like a mark, another bill from a past, left standing in the dark. When we're intimate, I'm just another shell. And every word she tells me, the pain of being ill. We're both looking for people, people that don't exist. An olive branch in one hand, the other's just a fist. Long ago, we're gone without a trace. God's laughter to remind us as we're hurled helplessly through space. Everybody running, desperately running, as if they were headed to some secret place. She's watching them hustle their bullshit. They set the fastest pace, when suddenly they discover there's no fucking race. squeak you make when you walk upon my floor. You gotta write it like you own it. Pretend you've always known it. Eat it like you've grown it. Then come on back to my front, to my front door. Don't you feel like a cheat? Like that knock at the bike rally, who's pretending to compete? Like that fat person trying to get a little more to eat. Like a winner. Who claims there's no defeat? That lover, that lover, who's less than discreet. Desperately ill, but you can't get an appointment. Thank you.
naked with a cup of coffee. I like her already.
Yeah. I feel really chill this week, man. I'll tell you what.
That was a great piano sample that they were using on that, right?
And
those great drum loops.
Yeah, I don't know about those. But
was it all? It was all live. Yeah, it was all real.
Yeah, no, it all happened at once.
That was chilling.
Yeah, those guys hanging just out. Get in there and they do it.
No multi-tracking, none of that crap.
No, it's just absolutely live.
You're too high-tech, Rick.
I know. I know, because I do that as much as I can in my shitty studio here. Not everybody can do that, but I do it as much as I can.
What did Rob Spiewak think about that, Bruce Lindsay? Oh, actually, who has the longest song ever played on Worst Little Podcast?
I think, yeah, that's an official. longest track.
Longest track ever played.
Did Rob like it?
Again, a great recording.
Oh, God. He likes everything
that
we do.
You know, one of these days, he's going to just say, that sucked. But not today.
We'll get him on the show. Say that sucked. Ah, that sucked. Well, you know who did say that? It was JB, Johnny Blindman.
Sam. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Wow, that sucked.
She was not talking about Bruce's song.
No.
She's talking about how her CD came out of here. No, you didn't record her CD, did you?
Actually, she was talking about a vocal take. Yeah, I did. One of her band CDs. That's where that came from. End of a vocal take, and she hated the take. And that's the same way that I got the...
That was bad.
Right.
Both of those are great. I love those drops.
But Jen Scafidi has a different opinion.
Yeah, she does.
Seriously, I think you just made my nipples hard.
Yeah, see.
What are we going to do then?
Hey, Nick, what do you think of Bruce Lindsay?
Oh, I just suck his dick.
Oh, Bruce no longer wants to be in the room.
He's a handsome man, dude.
Suck one dick, cocksucker for life.
Okay. We rarely get to pull that out, Bruce. That was a special moment.
It was a special occasion.
Pussy forever, suck one dick, they call you.
So I guess it's time for my music?
Yep.
My music?
As you wish, Mr. Dowd.
Thank you. Bruce, it's now the time of the show that we like to call the worst little quiz in the world, which I'm going to ask you a series of rather uncomfortable or awkward questions, at least, and you're going to answer them, and I'll score your answers on a magic scale.
I'm going to
in
tell
my
the
head.
Truth, okay?
Excellent.
Just like I heard it, word
the
for word.
The whole truth and nothing but?
Yeah.
We'll
like
start with my perennial favorite to start question. Your lover, your brother, or your mother trapped on a desert island. Who do you cannibalize first?
Well, the lover, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you eat her first just to relax. And then you get serious.
How often do you masturbate, Bruce?
As often as I can. You know, at this age, it's not as easy as it used to be. No 8 hours, you know, cutting diamonds. It's more like, you know, you get a dime out and you think, okay, can I move it?
Where and when did you lose your virginity?
Linda, up in University of Nevada, up on University Terrace. Linda Larson.
Oh, names and everything.
Shit.
Nice.
Holy
last
shit.
Names and everything.
Shit, I was 15. I just turned 15. Oh. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very patient and kind. And
awesome. Was it an older woman or a girl your own age?
Well, she was my age and about 30 years older than me.
Taking that car trip around the block more than once. let's see. Rate your own skills as a lover. A little advertisement for you. 1 to 10.
Yeah, see, I can part my hair with my tongue. I'm just working here. I can lie with the best of them. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
You know, I hate to say it, but doesn't it just seem like Bruce would be great in bed?
I'm the only one that ever touches me, which is really sad. You know, I send myself flowers. I make all the kind words. I say all the beautiful things.
Send yourself romantic.
I'm not sure I love me, okay? I'm going to be honest.
Romantic text throughout
the
day.
Yeah, you know, dirty text, dirty picture. You know.
In all of history, who would you have a fist fight with?
I think Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
I'd like to hit him.
Good.
I don't
good
know.
Answer. Just
a feeling. Solid. Yeah. Just a feeling, you know.
When was the last time you got really hammered?
Really hammered?
Really hammered. Like, you really maybe regretted it the next morning.
Or the next week?
Yeah.
The burn. Yeah.
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 Does, last year, 2012?
No, 2 years ago.
2010 or?
2010, yeah.
Well, let's see. For your last meal on Earth, not an execution style, just your last meal, what would you like?
A 16-year-old bottle of scotch and maybe an equivalently
young... I thought you were going to say a 16-year-old.
That's right. I thought
at my age,
he was about to. You cut him off.
Yeah, the only 16-year-old I get is a bottle of scotch. It's fucking sad.
Have you ever been surprised having sex?
Yeah. I've had her walk in the door. I've said it isn't me, it isn't her, and you can't believe your lion eyes. Who are you going to believe, me or your lion eyes? Christ's sakes.
How do you take your coffee?
Black. Just black.
Sexually.
Nice.
Like a good woman.
Let's go to the, let's switch over to the rapid fires
here.
All
right, let's do that.
I'll get it started here. Would you rather get beat up or arrested, Bruce?
I guess, I don't know. I'm not all that much into getting beat up. I guess arrested would be better.
Well, and you're a lawyer, so.
I can lie with the best of them.
Yeah.
You're looking great tonight, and you're a beautiful human being.
Bruce, Elvis or the Beatles?
The Beatles.
The Who or the Led Zeppelin?
Led.
All right, get the Led out. Clash or Sex Pistols?
Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
Benatar or Joan Jett?
Benatar.
Ozzy or Ronnie James?
I'm going to try Ronnie.
All right. And my last one, Neil Diamond or Neil Sedaka?
Neil Dum Dum or Dearly Nearly Dead Neil? Yeah, can I take an abstinence on that? I mean,
all right. Yeah.
All right. Meth or Mountain Dew?
Barry Manilow would have also been correct.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. Who's on first? I'll take the Mountain Dew. You know, it ain't broke till you just fix it till it is. You fix it till it is. You fix it till it is.
Gay or ginger?
I guess ginger.
Blind or deaf?
Well, depends who's walking by.
Nice. Top or bottom?
I'll take the top unless she's gentle. If she's gentle, I'll take the bottom.
Shaven or hirsute?
I guess the hair.
That's old school.
Tattoos or piercings?
Both.
Okay. Nice. Acceptable. We got them both on that. All right. Star Wars or Star Trek?
I'm sorry. Star Trek. I'm old.
All right.
Okay. I'm with you.
Lenny Bruce or Don Rickles? Go.
Two's a preposition, comes a verb. Two's a preposition, comes a verb. The verb in jazz. I've heard these words all in my adult life and childhood. I thought I was thinking, did you come good? Did you come good? Come, but baby, I come better with you in the world. But don't come in me. Don't come in me. Don't come in me. I can't come. What do you mean you can't come? You don't love me. That's why you can't. No, I had a bad day at work. You don't love me. That's why. If the words to come, if they bother you, if you feel uncomfortable, hey, sweetheart, you probably can't come. That's Lenny.
Lenny. Yeah.
For any of you ingrates.
Your last question, not as good as the Lenny question, but weed or beer?
Weed first.
No, that was actually your second to last question. My favorite question of the quiz.
Ooh.
So you're going down on a young lady, and you find a warm, crispy piece of bacon placed gently. Do you eat it?
In the moment, probably.
Good man. Good man.
All right, Bruce.
With a nice
quiz.
Round score of 247 points, Bruce. Thank you for playing in our quiz.
That's good. Good.
Thank
very
you.
Good.
I could never pass the test. So
the door
wonderful.
Will give your ass a good hustle on the way out.
Oh, God bless you. Life is good.
So we're here coming up closely to the end of the show here. Nick, what's going on this weekend?
Okay, here comes my
I think now it's time for our big giant Mary Anarchy plug. Bruce, you've been to a Mary Anarchy or two or ten, haven't you?
Yes.
What as far as events to go in Reno, big shows, charity functions, how does Mary Anarchy rank?
It's as good as it gets. I mean, you got a ton of bands. You got bands coming on at 5 in the morning. I mean, you get down there. You have several days where the music is just there in concert. 1 in the afternoon. I think you could have breakfast with bands, but
sometimes.
I mean, I like the way you think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a very, very nice.
As long as
nice
you have breakfast at 3 or 4 p.m., yeah, you're fucking right there.
Breakfast.
Saturday, that's breakfast.
Wake up at a crack of noon.
That's right. Well, he is correct. It is the fucking shiz night. And Friday, February 7th, Mary Anarchy Winter Ball, day one, a benefit for Tom Plunkett. We're going to have a bunch of acoustic artists like Pat Ray, Paul Allen, Jeff Dunn, Grace Gatsby, Kate Cotter, Todd South. They're going to start it off. Spike McGuire. These folks are going to start her off. And then we get into
heavy
lineup.
That's strong right there.
Onosis and then Candy Shop and the Vague Choir. And Reno, We Have a Problem. The Canes are going acoustic this year as well.
Really?
Yeah, their drummer couldn't make it because he's got to play with Prince 2 nights in a row.
That would be cool, though.
Yeah. Fuck. And then Big Remote.
He's not really playing with Prince.
Oh, we got Cathedral Ghost, which is an awesome addition to day one.
They're great.
We've never had them before.
I like those kids a lot.
And George's son, Georgie Jr. or Georgie the 17th or whatever, Farewell Belladonna, is going to be playing right before the motherfucking Atomics. So
That's just day one.
Day
people.
One, hosted by the Reverend Rory Dowd from the Worst Little Podcast in the World. And day two, we have some acoustic artists like Nick Ramirez, Spike and Jackson, and then Hella Acapella.
Who?
And then a new band by Suda.
Is it?
Some good folks called Post War.
Is that with Preston and?
Yeah, I think it's their new band.
Suda, nice. Preston, and Asa.
Asa
from Cranium. I recorded the headliner that day. But
I am super excited.
Dude, I recorded them a couple weeks ago, and it's fucking rad.
Yeah?
It's fucking amazing. And they don't know what their name is going to be, but yeah.
For this show, they're going
to
be called
Post-War. They had to pick
which
something.
Which I think is kind of a cool name.
I kept telling them to call themselves Kaka, and they won't take it.
You're gross.
And then they kept bringing up new names. I'm like, that doesn't beat Kaka. So, but keep going. I'm sorry, Nick.
Good Lord.
It's amazing, though. You guys got to check it out.
The giant speed bump that's
Betty Rocker.
Mind.
Sweet.
Friends of the show, Stabby Unicorn, fucking Mary Jane Rocket. Did I mention Hella Acapella is going to be debuting some new songs, some brand new songs for that?
Ooh.
And we got Actors Kill Lincoln, which is a great
band
this year, one of the hot new bands on the scene. And, one of the hot old bands on the scene, Memory Motel.
Yeah.
Fucking rad.
Merkin, the Liver Scars, Weapons of Mass Creation, friends of the show.
That's going to be a killer.
And Cranium.
Yeah.
Topping it all off on Saturday night.
That's a pretty heavy lineup
heavy
there, too.
Math rock on and drop some trow or acid or whatever you got to do to have fun. And
I want to say, probably a good 90% of those people or bands been on the show. Mm-hmm. We kind of have a stable of bands that we've had on and you use.
Here's my neighbor. I'm going to take this call real quick.
Okay.
All right.
Live.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Nick.
What's going on?
Do you know who Tommy Emmanuel is?
Who?
A guitar player, Tommy Emmanuel.
Oh, I don't know Tommy Emmanuel.
If you've got a TV, Channel 5, Tommy Emmanuel, they're asking for money right now, but Tommy Emmanuel is probably the best guitarist in the world. He's on Channel 5 right now.
Far out. Hey, I have your permission to use you on a podcast, right? You're live on my radio show right now.
I am?
Yeah.
Tommy Emmanuel?
Yeah, Tommy Emmanuel. Everybody check that out. We actually play this a few days later, so
that's
not going to be valid.
Don't turn
not
on Channel 5.
On
check it out on the internet.
Right now on Channel 5.
Right.
And they're asking for money right now, but he's just done his first 15 minutes. Well, he's my favorite guitar, and maybe they're saying the best guitarist in the world. I thought you should know about him.
I should know about it.
So, okay, love you.
I love you too.
Bye,
Bonnie. Bonnie is one of my neighbors at the Artist Loft.
That's so nice. She just wanted to call and tell you
about stuff.
That's cute.
I love her. She also tells me every 2 weeks when it's time to take out recycling, which I love.
That's very nice of her.
Thank you, Bonnie.
I always need that.
Sounds like Bonnie cares.
She does. She gives a fuck, and she's like in her 80s, so she's super rad, you know what I mean? Like, she's still going.
You better get that cleaned up before Bonnie gets home.
She's an art rocker. She's still doing it. Anywho. So, yeah, Mary Anarchy, be there this weekend at Jub Jub's Thirst Parlor.
And Saturday's my birthday, and there will be car bomb specials all day long. I think $1 off all car bombs. All
right.
Yeah, all day long in honor of my birthday. I'm going to try to have 10. I think one an hour at the top of the hour on stage.
Cool, cool.
That'll be entertaining.
We'll probably have some bonus guests. Like, I think maybe Bruce Lindsay might read a poem or two at the Mary Anarchy.
My Jenny Pez
Jenny
Dispenser.
Pez can do some
comedy.
I might do a little guitaring.
That would be cool.
Tom Plunkett might show up and play a little. Shut up, Rick. I'm actually, like, pretty okay.
I wasn't
going
to say don't play. I was going to say don't tell them.
You want them to show up, right? No. Rory Dad's been getting better, dude. He's been getting better and better.
Thank you, Rick.
Hate you.
And you all lost the game. I hate you all.
It's
I hate pie.
Mr. Dowd, none of those people are your friends.
Well, you know, on that note, we're going to go out on one more song, story song from Mr. Bruce Lindsay. But Bruce, did you have a good time today?
I had a fantastic time.
Thank you for being here, my friend.
What do you have coming up this weekend, Bruce?
I might grow up. Nice. I'm thinking about
it. I hope not.
Seriously.
Don't do it this weekend. I'm not ready for that.
I'm thinking
that's
about
not, that's
growing
That's not convenient
up.
For me.
I'm going to grow up right before they put me under.
He's going to Mary Anarchy this weekend, right. Aren't you?
You keep your absolutely. You keep your ambitions just as low as you can get them, and then you have success.
You're always pleasantly surprised.
You're always successful. It's these people with high ambitions that get depressed and shoot themselves.
Aim low, you'll never be disappointed.
Yeah, that's what I told D-Bird. Yeah.
What's the last song we're going to hear, Bruce?
I think it is The Ticket. It's a song I wrote out at the Burn about running into Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
Rad.
The Ticket.
Well, ladies,
I'm fucking your happy.
I'm fucking your day.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, for Nick Ramirez, Dogwater Dick, Spencer the Intern, Chewbacca,
Missy,
Bruce Lindsay, and the Reverend Rory Dowd, I am the Reverend Rory Dowd.
That's
and
right.
Good night, ladies. Sexually.
I sold Jesus a ticket to his last ride. But you know it wasn't for the money. You know it wasn't out of pride. To tell you the truth, I never took sides. I simply offered him a hand, then quickly stepped aside. So play that horn. Till the break of dawn, the keys and the chords. Can't you hear the saxophone? Coltrane and the kinds of things nobody can explain. Bird spreads his wings while Lady Day sings. Give me Powell and Evans, notes, notes straight from heaven. My Jamal may have said it all. Give me Monk, Mingus, and Miles. That endless smile. There's plenty of time to make love to the sun, to touch
all the stars to know we are one, to begin it all again. One mad long run. There's nothing wrong with forgotten lives, empty bruises and ancient lies. The fog rolls in, you know the mirror tries to give each face that fresh disguise. So gone again, you know it's in the eyes. Forever returns in whispers and sighs, those memories that break the door like old ex-wives. I rode with Brodsky, Rutke, and Arthur Miller, Kafka and Karamazov just for filler, Willie the Shake, you know he's killer. Give me Blake Kennedy, throw in a little bit of Henry Miller, Bodhidharma and all night talks of karma. I'm going where everything's broke and nothing gets fixed. I'm easing down, I'm getting lost in the mix. But why don't you try? Remember just a little of this. Accept it all and take the fall. Give it away till your final day. Laugh at sin and keep the grin. Cause baby, when you're gone, it all might end. Accidents, accidents, oh Lord, what might have been? Eternity, babe. You know that was your only friend. I sold Jesus a ticket to his last ride. Oh, but it wasn't for the money. No, 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 it wasn't. Wasn't out of pride. To tell you the truth, I never took sides. I just offered him a hand, then I quickly stepped aside. Oh, I gave Jesus that ticket, no, for his last ride. But it wasn't for the money, no, 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 no. It wasn't out of pride. To tell you the truth,
it's a resurrection, not a crucifixion. I rolled the rock aside.
Any last words, goon face?
Dog War Studios.
And I ain't your maid anymore, baby.